We are going to talk as loudly as we want to about libraries this hour during this National Library Week. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, April 15th. It's great to be back from vacation. It was a staycation for the most part, but I got to start on spring cleaning, even if the weather wasn't very spring-like. The weather forecast says it will be warmer today, but not so much for the rest of the week. Details on that in a few minutes. And coming up in our Monday morning wake-up call at 10 to 7 this morning, a reminder that severe weather in the form of thunderstorms and tornadoes will soon be with us. We'll get some tips on how to be ready for that a little bit later in the hour. But first, let's celebrate libraries during this National Library Week and talk about what our libraries mean to us and the role that they play in our lives and in our communities. What services do you appreciate from your local library? And what would make your library even better? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Tracy Harrell, director of the Sun Prairie Library. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. So what is the point of National Library Week this week?
It is a week in spring when we're ready to get out and about again.
Yes, yes.
To celebrate libraries. And the incredible value that we find in them, and the incredible resource that they are for communities.
How would you describe the state of libraries around Wisconsin today?
I think in Wisconsin we have some pretty amazing library services, especially as I hear from other colleagues around the country. Just what an incredible network we have of sharing here in Wisconsin. We're divided into different kinds of library systems, and within those systems, we share. Sun Prairie is part of the South Central Library System. We share materials across our system seamlessly, almost seamlessly. So rather than just having access to what's in your local library building, you have access to hundreds of thousands more materials through that system, and then across Wisconsin, systems also share. So we basically have a gigantic collection of millions of materials for library patrons, residents in every city, to have access to. And that's pretty amazing. In fact, you can place something on order from a library with either within the South Central system or from northern Wisconsin, say, and you can have that delivered to your library sometimes within a matter of days, and sometimes it may take 2 or 3 weeks. In other states, you may have access to something, but you have to actually physically get yourself across the state into the library that owns the material that you need. So our resource here for library sharing is really amazing here in Wisconsin.
It sounds like it. What about challenges? What's the biggest challenge facing libraries today?
Well, I think the one of the largest challenges that we face certainly are our budgets. I always compare our library service to what it would be like as a business. We're open 68 hours a week, so Monday through Thursday, 9 to 9, Friday and Saturday, 9 to 5, and Sunday, 1 to 5, spring through, or fall through spring. And having enough resources, both staffing to support all of those hours, to provide the programming that's in demand, to keep building the collection that is in incredible demand, is always a challenge. That is always a challenge, and I think we also, as I said, we struggle to provide enough for our communities. I think we do a really darn good job of it, but we could always do more. And I think the other challenge in this day and age, in this world of the internet, and now with the rise of digital materials, making sure that people understand that we have access to these things, that we are providers, we continue to be providers of information and entertainment, and we're a very, very high value for a community.
What about the use of libraries? Is it steady, increasing?
We have experienced an increase every year since the Sun Prairie Public Library is a 14-year-old building in its current location. It's been in Sun Prairie back since the early 1900s, and since we've been in this location, use has risen every year. In fact, since 1999, our circulation has grown at least 123%. And so that's terrific. This year, our circulation is up 6%. And so the demand continues. People are making very good use of the library here in Sun Prairie. And I know certainly around Dane County, library use is very steady, if not growing. I know also there's a lot of anticipation for the new Central Library in downtown Madison, which we're all anxious to see when it opens.
Yeah, what do you attribute that growth to? If somebody can just look up something on the internet, why do you think more people are checking out books and other materials from the library?
Yeah, well, I think there are several things. I think first and foremost, libraries are an incredible value. So you pay for them through your local tax dollars, but when you actually walk into them and take something away, it's virtually free, even though you have paid for them via your taxes. Mm-hmm. But that idea of being able to walk into this building and have access to all of these different resources and not to have to pay right there on the spot is a pretty amazing value. Secondly, you also aren't, when you walk into a library, you use it on your own terms. You aren't marketed to. You aren't sold something. So it really is a very nice neutral place to be where you're not bombarded with other messages that you should be doing this or you should look like this or you need to buy this or you mm-hmm. won't be happy without this. You really get to use a library on your own terms. I certainly think that economics has something to do with it. Certainly the downturn in 2008 boosted library use. Library use always goes up in times of economic hardship. What I think has happened is you just mentioned your staycation.
Yes.
I was recently on a staycation as well. I think people are kind of realigning their economic values and where they're putting their money. And I think especially during our recession, people stayed home and people found the resources of value in their community, and they certainly did that in Sun Prairie, and they haven't stopped using those resources. They may have discovered them for the first time or rediscovered them, but what we have found is people realized, wow, this is an incredible resource here in my community. I'm not going to stop using it. I'm going to keep using it more. And so I think as people discover what libraries have to offer, they keep availing themselves, and then they tell their friends and family about it, and that word kind of spreads like wildfire.
So have you discovered what's available at your local library? How do you use your library? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are talking about the various roles that libraries and librarians play in our communities, our campuses, and schools during this National Library Week. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. It'll be partly to mostly cloudy today with rain showers likely in the southeastern part of the state. There is a chance of snow in northwestern Wisconsin. We can expect high temperatures from the low 40s in the northwest to the low 60s in the southeast. A flood warning remains in effect for parts of central and south central Wisconsin. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's now 18 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, April 15th. Coming up a little bit later this hour, it's our Monday morning wake-up call. We will talk about severe weather week in Wisconsin coming up at about 10 minutes to 7. Right now, we are talking about libraries and celebrating libraries during this National Library Week with Tracy Harold, who is director of the Sun Prairie Public Library. And we're welcoming your stories about your local library, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And we'll also talk about some of the events that are taking place around the state in celebration of National Library Week. But right now we have full lines, so let's go to Eugene and Viola first. Hi, Eugene.
Good morning, Joy, and to your guest. To give you an idea how good our Wisconsin library system is, I wanted some information on Palmer Penmanship, and they couldn't find it here in Wisconsin. They got it out of a library in Pennsylvania. Now, on the other hand, I've got friends living in Front Royal, Virginia, and if they want anything outside of their system, they've got to pay for it.
Really? I missed that, though, Eugene. You said you couldn't get the penmanship information in a Wisconsin
library? They couldn't find exactly what I wanted. And they went searching for it, and they got it out of a library out of Pennsylvania. That's true.
Yeah. So you'll look where and find it wherever it is, Tracy?
That is correct. So we have access to a resource called WorldCat, which is virtually everything that's available in libraries across the nation, and we are able to access that if there's something very specific that a patron needs, and that happens quite a bit when somebody's looking for something historical or something very, very specialized. We are able to take a look at WorldCat, and if we don't have it within our own system, we're able to take a look at who does have it and put out a request to those libraries that may own that item, and oftentimes they are willing to lend it to us. So it gets sent to us. That's where we can't guarantee an exact time frame because there are some other factors at work. But usually within several weeks, we're able to get those specialized items, and the patron can have them for a finite amount of time.
Well, in conjunction, too, with National Library Week, tomorrow is National Library Workers Day. So let me wish you a happy Library Workers Day early.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly, this might be hard for you to answer, but how valuable are library staff in making a library run well?
Oh, they're incredible. I think they're the first point of contact in many cases for patrons who are coming into libraries, especially if you're first getting your library card. You're going to encounter a staff person who's going to help you. And I think library staff help set the tone of what the library is about. And in most of my experiences, certainly in Sun Prairie, library staff are incredibly friendly and warm and dedicated. They want patrons to have a good experience. Customer service is very, very, very highly valued in the library world. And we also have to have a lot of resources to pull on because we do help the general public. The library is open for everybody. So we come across a variety of different people and a variety of different needs. So having a really strong staff who's committed to public service is very, very important. Library staff are incredible individuals who really value serving the public.
And you get calls from people like Eugene wanting to know information about penmanship and who knows what else. You must get some really interesting questions.
We do. His question reminded me of a gentleman who wanted some information on branding, literally different brands that are used in cattle branding. And we ended up having to go to some libraries out west in Wyoming and Colorado to find exactly what he was looking for because it was so specialized. But we were able to get it. So
yeah.
So it's pretty exciting when you place, especially in those situations when something is so specialized, and it's hard to imagine that anybody may own this particular resource. Getting that to the patron and giving them that resource, it's really valuable.
Well, thanks for your service. Jerry in Genesee Depot is with us now. Hi, Jerry.
You are on my favorite subject. I can't say enough about libraries. Our Waukesha County system is second to none. They've got the CIA in there. Whenever you want to find something, and I'm sometimes a little off, I don't read fiction, but I get my movies from there. I don't go to the movies. I have a television, but it's only set up to use that as a viewer, and I get all kinds of books, and especially from you people when you review them. I've got two at home now that were reviewed a month or so ago, and I call up right away, bang, they've got it. And if they haven't, they can find it somewhere. I even got one from Washington State one time a year or two ago, and they're just so helpful. It's unbelievable. And I'm in there usually once a week or so, and I can't say enough.
Oh, that's wonderful, Jerry. When you say, you're saying that when you hear a book discussed on Wisconsin Public Radio, it might pique your interest, and then you'll
right
get
away.
It from your library. Yeah.
I get on right away, because sometimes when it's new, other people are there too. I've had some already where I was the first one on the list, and sometimes it wasn't even there yet, but they seem to follow you. You review good books. And I know pretty much if you review them, they're going to be in there somewhere. So.
Oh, excellent. Well, thank you, Jerry. Do you get a lot of calls after Wisconsin Public Radio does an author interview, Tracy?
We do. Mm-hmm. We do. I'm so glad he mentioned that, because we make it our business to keep in touch with certainly Wisconsin Public Radio and what's happening out in the media, what books are being reviewed, what's hot. In the media, so that we can order these things and have them available for people to start placing holds. A lot of people still have the impression that libraries carry dusty old books, and we don't. We really are a popular sources location, so that you can find the latest bestsellers. You can get your name on a waiting list before they've even arrived at the library. And so when we hear about things that are being reviewed and things that we think are going to be breakout bestsellers or just breakout reads, we're the first to get those things on order so that people can place their holds on those items and reserve them.
So besides 50 Shades of Grey, what's hot these days?
Oh, boy. I don't have my list in front of me.
Well, here's one that will be had. After 8, we're talking with the author of Down the Up Escalator, How the 99% Live in the Great Recession. That's the book we're talking about at 8 o'clock this morning.
Okay, okay.
And many others, I'm sure, throughout the day. Let's go to John in Oshkosh. Hi, John.
Hi, Joy. Thanks for taking my call. I'll start out by saying that I am 100% pro-library. I really like Wisconsin library system, so I don't want to sound like I'm complaining. But I do have kind of a question for your guest. I do a lot of traveling for my job, and in my downtime, I often stop at libraries. I get books on tape. I've ordered stuff through the exchange system. I've gotten a lot of really good stuff. I own I have library cards for all over the state, from kind of Iron Mountain down to Oak Creek. You know, scattered libraries from wherever I've been. And maybe about a month ago, I stopped at the Wauwatosa Public Library and just, you know, I had an hour off work, so I stopped in. And I saw something I wanted to check out. And they said that because I wasn't a resident of Milwaukee County, I needed to pay $50 for a library card. And I had never encountered that before, and I was wondering if your guests might know a little bit about that or might be able to shed a little bit of light on that subject.
Is that a trend?
No, it's not a trend. It's a bit of a different situation, and I happened to work in Milwaukee County before I came to my job here in Sun Prairie, so I know just a little bit about Milwaukee's situation. Milwaukee County Federated Library System has a bit of a different sharing situation or agreement than the rest of the systems in the state, And so he is correct in terms of if somebody from outside of Milwaukee County would like to borrow from a particular library, there is a fee involved there. That's a bit of a rarer situation, and it has to do with some Milwaukee County funding and how the libraries are supported there. But that as he mentioned, it's not typically the case. Most systems have cross-borrowing agreements with one another.
Thank you for the call, John. Tom in Madison is with us now. Hello, Tom.
Good morning, Joy and Tracy. My name is Thomas Maloney. I am the Library Services and Education Technology Coordinator for the Wisconsin Department of Corrections.
Oh.
I have 22,000 readers in 27 different institutions looking to read your gently used books that you may drop off at any public library in the state, and it can get to the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction's Council on Libraries and Network Development Donation Program for the Wisconsin Department of Corrections. In addition, the Wisconsin Council of Churches, any religious institution can take your books and get them into the hands of the readers who are in so much need to read and who need the freedom to read inside Wisconsin correctional institutions.
Well, thank you so much, Tom, for bringing this to our attention. It's something I didn't think about, Tracy, that you could donate books to Wisconsin corrections.
You certainly can. We actually I that was interesting news for me to hear from Tom, because I have had some contacts with people who have been reaching out to try to get donations for the Department of Corrections. Something at Sun Prairie that's
Let me hold you there, Tracy, because we have a news break coming up. We'll pick up on this point after we check the latest news. We're talking about libraries during National Library Week. Our guest is Tracy Harreld, director of the Sun Prairie Public Library. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. So why do you appreciate your local library? How important is your library to your community? Is your library planning any special events during this National Library Week? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Monday, April 15th. Join in as we celebrate libraries with your questions and comments at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And if you have some library events happening, you can post those as well. Our guest is Tracy Harreld, director of the Sun Prairie Library. And just before the news, Tracy, we heard from a caller who was the library coordinator for the Department of Corrections. And he said that we could drop off books at our local public library and get them to the Department of Public Instruction, and the Department of Public Instruction would get those books to Wisconsin prisons to help out the inmates who want to read books.
I want to offer a point of clarification on that. I think that's an incredibly worthy cause, and I at Sun Prairie have heard from some other contacts who have reached out to ask for donated materials when they become available. Something that we do, and I've done it several other libraries that I've been at, is we have a friends group at Sun Prairie Public Library, and they're incredibly supportive, and they have a bookstore right within the library, just off of our lobby, and it's completely staffed by volunteers. And so when we receive donated books, our staff goes through them and takes a look at what we could use in the library. Whatever we can't use gets donated to the friends for them to use in their bookstore. And this is a source of terrific revenue for the library, because the friends of the library then makes an annual gift to the library in the form of a wish list of items that we could not otherwise purchase on our regular operating budget. So I just wanted to offer that point of clarification. I'm not exactly sure what the caller was talking about in terms of people dropping things off at public libraries, because it's been my experience that those donations either go into the collection or they go to friends groups. But I will certainly look into that. I think there are a couple of bookstores downtown in Madison. It may be Rainbow Books who does take donations for the Department of Corrections.
Okay, thanks for that clarification. Ellen in Waupun is with us now. Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Joy. Thank you for taking my call. I, too, am appreciative of our library for many reasons, but recently they were able to get a book for me about a Wisconsin author, Ella Wheeler Wilcox, and that came from the library in Madison. And this week they are having many programs that sound very interesting, and that, too, is helped out by the Friends of the Waupun Library. Tonight they have a man by the name of Bill Jamerson coming to do the Dollar a Day Boys, a musical tribute to the Civilian Conservation Corps. That sounds very interesting to me. And on Friday night, Jerry Apps will be here, and I've heard of him through public radio.
Mm-hmm.
And Saturday, they have an antique appraiser. So it's great, and we just are very blessed in Waupun with good library staff.
That sounds like a lot of fun, a lot of things going on. And we had a Facebook listener who posted that, check out your local library. There's always great events, special events happening during this week. Tracy, is there a way to find out if, you know, what events are happening in, you know, all over the state?
All over the state in one central location, that's a little bit difficult. But if you visit any local library's website, they typically have a calendar of events going on. I know we do here in Sun Prairie. This week we have two events going on. One happens to be our volunteer appreciation luncheon, and we are celebrating our volunteers, those that I just spoke about in the bookstore, and those volunteers who do other things around the library. We're celebrating them during National Library Week. Sun Prairie Public Library also has its own foundation, and this Saturday night we are having a Library Spring Gala event at the library. It's an after-hours event, and it's a wine and cheese tasting, and it's an art auction. And so that's pretty exciting for us to hold during National Library Week. We also are part of, in Dane County, we were fortunate enough to be part of the Beyond the Page grant, which is a grant that we received from the National Endowment for the Humanities, a 3-to-1 matching grant. And so we received $350,000 from the National Endowment for the Humanities, and then Dane County Libraries have been raising $1,050,000 to match that grant. And so that endowment will spin off programming money for libraries throughout Dane County. And that endowment is going to enrich humanities programming through all of our libraries. Here in the county, we held an event last fall where we had Forward Theater come in and reprise their monologue fest, The Love That Changed My Life. I know this year there are several events going on in libraries across Dane County. We held a Daughters of Africa program along with Middleton Public Library in February. We were really excited to have Mixed Blood Theater from the Twin Cities area down, and that was a one-woman show. So lots of different kinds of programming, some of it very hands-on, some of it theatrical, really bringing home the humanities.
I have an email from a listener who is involved with the Monona Public Library, yeah, hosting a major fundraising event on Saturday, this coming Saturday, and it sounds Sounds pretty wild. It's A Night in Vegas. and it's to raise money. They say, we are raising funds for the Beyond the Page campaign, a joint effort of the Dane County Library Service and the Madison Community Foundation to create a permanent endowment that will support humanities programming in all of the Dane County public libraries. So, so it's that same effort that you were talking about.
Absolutely. But I should mention, the most of the programming that you will see in libraries is free to those who attend. It's very rare. We will have fundraisers occasionally, and certainly through this process of raising our match for the Beyond the Page grant, there is some fundraising going on. But most of the programming that patrons can attend in libraries is absolutely free. That's children's programming and adult programming.
Yeah. Dave in Paris Township emails, the library is wonderful. We use the Salem Community Library in Kenosha County several times a week. There is no fast internet in the area of the county that we live in, so the library provides that broadband service. The library's internet provides access to subscription services like searching for ancestors and auto repair. And the social aspect, how long can you sit at home staring at the screen? So just getting out and about and socializing. Talk a little bit about that. You provide broadband internet service for some people in rural areas.
We do. And not just people in rural areas. I think we have this misconception in this day and age that everybody has a device, either has wireless or has broadband access or has wireless access somehow, that everybody is plugged in. And I think what we see as the reality is, obviously, broadband access is not universal yet. We still have places that are not served by fast internet, and so thank goodness libraries and schools are, and so we're able to connect people. There are also people who have, as I mentioned before, during the recession, went without internet from the home, and have been able to continue to do that as the economy continues to grow slowly but surely. People have not necessarily reintroduced that into their lives, and home internet is a luxury. They come to the library. Another group that we serve pretty heavily is people who have any printer issues or who are having computer problems at home. If they just have a malfunction of their machine and they don't have access, they come to the library. And certainly at the library, most libraries, not all yet, but most do offer some kind of wireless. So people can avail themselves with their own wireless devices. Those who own them are really making high use of wireless access and that broadband speed.
Along the lines of the social aspects of our libraries that Dave referenced, I just a couple of weeks ago voted in my public library branch, and a while back I attended a photographer's exhibit that was in the community room there, and so there it's more than just sitting there quietly looking at your book.
It is the libraries of today are really very much social places, and they're not quiet or silent places. In fact, at Sun Prairie, we're a pretty bustling, busy library, and we have silent rooms that people can use if they do need silence, if they do need quiet. But the quiet and the shushing of librarians years ago really has gone away because libraries are such bustling community places. We're a place where lots of meetings happen, whether they be interviews or class projects, and students are meeting to complete those projects. Families who meet up in the library. We've got some coffee clutches in the morning with mothers and their small children who are attending story time. It's very much a third place. We talk about the idea of a third place. It's not work. It's not school. It's not home. It's that place that you can come and you can use on your own terms. And you can interact. It's very much a vibrant place, and I think because you happen to have these incredible resources around you. You've got these wonderful new books and music and media that you can browse at your leisure. In our case, we happen to have a coffee shop, or our bookstore is also a coffee shop. So you can grab a cup of coffee and come into the library.
Oh, I love that. That's great.
It's very comfortable.
In our final moment here, talk a little bit about the future of libraries. You say the future is bright?
I think the future is very bright for libraries. And I guess I've been in this field long enough to where when I first came in the field, the internet and the web was just taking off, and people predicted the demise of libraries. And we've only seen them grow and become even more solidly community centers, where there's a lot of things going on. We're meeting places for different community groups. Again, we always have that constant of being information providers, because I think people have realized, as much as there is that's accessible on the internet, it's still really hard to wade through. There's so much out there. So to get to some good, solid information and not waste your time out there floundering around, people are using librarians and library resources. We offer a lot of free access to various databases, specialized materials that you wouldn't be able to have access to otherwise. I think libraries will continue to be really interactive places. I think they'll continue to grow as more exploratory places, where we're providing much more hands-on inventiveness. We keep hearing about maker spaces, places where people are inventing and exploring different ideas. I think that will continue to grow. And in my time as a librarian and as a library director, I've been a part of a building project. I've seen new libraries and updated libraries continue to grow and take hold in communities. Fitchburg opened almost a couple of years ago. The new Central Library is coming online in September. So I think communities are realizing, or have realized, that libraries are very, very valuable places where people can come together and they can get information, they can share ideas, and again, like I said, they can be used on their own terms. They're places for everybody in the community.
I look forward to visiting my local library this week. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
Tracy Harold is director of the Sun Prairie Public Library. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is Tornado and Severe Weather Awareness Week in Wisconsin. And in our Monday morning wake-up call, an emergency management expert has some tips on preparing for the severe weather that we will likely get in the weeks and months to come. Todd Pritchard is the Emergency Management Coordinator for Wisconsin Emergency Management. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm good. So, hey, do we still have some flood warnings going on around the state?
Yes, we still do, and you know, it looks like we've really lucked out so far that, you know, we've had some low-level flooding. We haven't had any real houses threatened. There's one dam over in near Kenosha that we're kind of keeping an eye on, but knock on wood, so far so good.
Well, that is good, and it's kind of strange because normally around this time we might be, you know, getting these severe thunderstorms starting up, and instead we're getting snowstorms in parts of the state.
Absolutely. It's a little bizarre to talk about tornadoes when we're still dealing with snow. I'm up in Wausau today, and we've got a lot of snow cover up here. So, but it is that time, and probably the way things are kind of shaping up, we'll probably go right from winter smack dab into summer here. So this is a good time to try to get our heads wrapped around the fact that we will have to deal with tornadoes coming up in the next few weeks. And, you know, kind of, you know, we every every spring, it's kind of, at least for my family, it's like, okay, what's our plan? You know, what do we do if we hear there's a tornado coming? Where's the best place to take shelter? So it's a good time to meet with your family to talk about, and your school and your business, talk about where you would go for the best shelter, what you would do, and how are you going to get the best information about severe weather?
Yeah, so do they usually start cropping up in April? When is tornado season?
You know, we're in prime time from April through August, but we have had tornadoes every month of the year in Wisconsin, so including in January. So we're never quite out of it, but it really heats up April, May, June, all the way through August.
Is there anything new this year in terms of severe weather forecasting or warning?
Well, I think there is something new, and it's really, I think it's going to make a big difference. The National Weather Service is trying a new technique. It's called impact-based warnings. And instead of just issuing, saying, you know, the National Weather Service has issued a tornado warning for, you know, Dane County or Marathon County, you know, they're going to, if needed, they're going to give a little bit more information. So let's say there is a giant EF5 tornado headed toward Wausau, and a spotter has seen the tornado. They've seen how powerful it is. The National Weather Service is going to use a little bit different language for that. They're going to use a language like this storm is packing devastating winds, damage is expected, take shelter now. So I think that's going to help kind of fill in the gap. You know, when you hear a tornado warning has been issued and you know, maybe on the way, we're all human. We want a little bit more information than that. We need to know, is this a big one? Is this a small one? Is it, you know, how bad is this?
Is this to make sure people take notice, Todd? Do we sometimes become complacent and
Joy, that's absolutely correct, because I think what happens is, you know, sometimes we hear those warnings all the time. It's like, oh, well, another warning. But, you know, if it is warranted and if it's a big enough storm, I think that's going to help. You know, when we had the big Joplin, Missouri tornado back in 2011, that's one of the things the National Weather Service found, was that people didn't heed the warnings. They just didn't take immediate action. And they also looked for different ways to confirm that there was a danger. So, you know, maybe they heard there was a tornado warning, but what do we all do when we hear there's a tornado warning?
Well, we're supposed to go in the basement, but...
right, but we tend to all look out the window, right? Really, what's going on? And then maybe we call a friend. Oh, did you hear the sirens? What's going on? And then maybe we go on Facebook and we're Twittering and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So the word we're trying to get to people is listen, act, and live. You know, listen to that warning and then take action. You know, find an immediate shelter and you're going to have a much better chance of surviving. And if you can, you know, find out more information once you get to that shelter. You know, don't waste time running around the house to try to get the information. Get to that place of safety as soon as you can and then try to get a little bit more information. Okay, where is the storm and where is it headed and how is it going to affect me?
Say, Ty, we just have a minute to go. Talk a little bit about the statewide tornado drill that's scheduled for this Thursday. What can we expect?
Yeah, this is a great opportunity for businesses, families, schools. Almost every school in the state participates in this. At 1:45 on Thursday, the sirens will go off. The radio and TV stations all across the state will put out a mock tornado warning. And that is a great opportunity. The sirens will go off. That's a great opportunity for people to practice what they would do if there's a tornado. And we're going to do the drill unless there's severe weather predicted for the area. And then we would postpone it for the next day. But even if we have some rain showers or it's cloudy or we have maybe some garden variety thunderstorms, we're planning on doing it on Thursday.
Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you so much, Joy.
Todd Pritchard is the Emergency Preparedness Coordinator for Wisconsin Emergency Management. And by the way, it's going to be partly to mostly cloudy today with rain showers likely in the southeastern part of the state. There is a chance of snow in the northwest. Highs today will be in the low 40s in the northwest to the low 60s in the southeast. Thanks to Cynthia Schuster and to Amanda Magnus and to Bill Martins for producing this hour. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.